XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We have a pair of tax experts with us tonight to share tips and advice as you move towards the end of the year and you want to make sure that you take care of everything that you possibly can when you prepare to file after the first of the year. Enrolled agent Teddy Prelo. Teddy the Tax Man is on the phone. We also have Salome Tinker. She's a CPA with TSC Enterprise. She's in studio, and they're both answering your questions about taxes. Again, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Darlene, calling from Columbia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
My question is about home improvement projects that I can claim. Specifically, in 2016, I had new windows put in my house. I had new attic insulation and a new roof. Are those three items, can I claim those three items, you know, as home improvement projects on my taxes?
It depends, actually. It depends on if they were, if you got energy efficient type of home improvements. Just general home improvements on a primary residence are not eligible for deduction unless there is some type of some energy efficiency that's associated with it.
And I guess the only other thing would probably be if you have a home-based business.
If you have a home-based business, you certainly could take some off. Or if it was a rental property, then everything would be up for a deduction at that point.
Great. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Darlene. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Eve, calling from D.C. Hi, Eve. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I'm working for a delivery company. And,
Eve, you're going to have to repeat that. I think you're going out. Say that one more time, please.
Okay, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Go right ahead.
I'm sorry, yes. I'm working for a delivery company, and I'm delivering food, and I'm being paid so many cents per mile to deliver. Now, I'm trying to figure out if I'm able to deduct the usage of my vehicle for wear and tear here in the District of Columbia, because I'm being constantly told for the last 2 years since I've worked for this company that I'm not able to do that.
Teddy, you want to try to tackle that?
And the repairs are on me. So is that correct, or am I not filing correctly the correct form?
Teddy,
well, I'm not
go
sure
ahead.
Why they would have told you that, because your mileage is definitely deductible. So whether they reimburse you or not, it's going to be deductible. What you will need to do is, if you are going to deduct it, you're going to include that in your gross income, the gross income that they gave you, or the gross income that was earned from them, and then you will appropriately write off the mileage. Be very careful about writing off mileage. The IRS wants you to keep a log of that mileage, and they said, this is what they say directly from the IRS, you need to keep that contemporaneously. So they don't want you to, 2 years later, when you're being audited, try to reconstruct that mileage. You know, although they will accept that sometimes, you don't want to make that a habit. So they were wrong in telling you that you cannot deduct those miles. You certainly can. And when you deduct mileage, you're only going to deduct mileage. You're not going to deduct the interest that you paid on the car. You're not going to deduct repairs. You're not going to deduct gas, right? So what will happen is you will sit down with your advisor, your tax advisor, and you will say, tax advisor, what do you recommend? Should I take the mileage deductions? Should I take the actual expenses? Or should I take the depreciation? And that decision should be made upon the first preparing of that tax return that has that business income and expenses on it.
Hey, Eve, let me clarify. Didn't you say your company already reimbursed you for mileage?
Eve, are you there?
Yes, I'm here for delivery. Can you hear me?
Yes.
For delivery. And what it is, my concern is because I'm paying for repairs.
No, but does your company already reimburse you for mileage?
Yeah, for mileage.
Right. Well, you can't do a double reimbursement for mileage then. So I don't know. I think that
either one or the other.
It's one or the other. And basically, even with your tax return, as a business owner, I get either or. I can do actual expenses, or I could do mileage, which mileage takes in consideration the IRS, given your wear and tear on your car. So because your employee already reimbursed you for that, you can't take that double elective for the IRS, unfortunately.
Correct, correct. Because the district government has said that right. It has to be a self business, which I'm not working for myself. I'm working for a company, but I'm using my vehicle, wearing it. You understand?
Right, but that's why they're giving you the 53 or 52.6 cent on the mile to take that in consideration. I mean, alternately, if you add all that up, that's supposed to cover the oil change that you needed, you know, quicker than you would have had when you rolled your car. So, unfortunately, I don't think that you can get any additional monies if the government is already reimbursing you for mileage.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's horrible.
I know.
Eve, you understand what I'm saying, because I'm using, the vehicle is depreciating, but you cannot get an oil change.
Yes, but you're getting that 54 cent a mile.
Yeah, I mean, but if what she's saying is that if they're paying you for mileage, you can't tell the IRS that they're not.
Correct.
You see.
But I should be able to obtain some additional, deduction for that.
Teddy, you were about to say something?
Yeah, what I was about to say is, yeah, as a sole proprietor, you're definitely going to do that. If they're reimbursing
but are you, though, but are you're not a sole, no, she's working for a company. No, she is an she's an employee.
She's an employee.
Yes.
Right, using, my vehicle, not a company vehicle. This is what the issue is.
Okay. All right. So this is how you do it. If they are reimbursing you the federal rate, now you're not going to get a deduction out of that, especially if it's dollar for dollar, penny for penny. But if they are reimbursing you anything less than the federal mileage rate, you're going to report all of that on the 2106, and it'll come out in the wash. So,
what is the federal mileage? What is the federal mileage?
What is the mileage? That's what I'm saying. What is the federal mileage? That's another thing, because I don't think they're compensating us properly. But you understand what I'm saying? That's why I'm asking.
Well, actually, I think it's 50. It was 56%, but it actually dropped.
I mean, 56 cents
per mile, but it actually dropped to about 54 now. So it's actually.
So what are they paying you per mile, Eve?
I have to double check on that, but that's why I'm asking the question to verify. But I'll have to double check on that.
And you certainly can actually call our office, and we can give you the exact mileage.
And as always, we'll make sure that contact information for both Teddy and Salome are on WHUR.com after 8:30, as always. So, Eve, good luck to you, and drive safely.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
All right. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I want to talk about one other thing. Homestead exemption?
Yes, for a first-time home buyer,
Salome, because a lot of people are jumping in and buying homes now that we've seen a small uptick in interest rates. A lot of people also over the past year or so have purchased homes. What is that? And because I'm trying to make sure that we get all the information out about people leaving money on the table.
So that's correct. That? And especially for the first time home buyers, you need to make sure that you bring your HUD one with you when you approach your tax to your tax preparer, because there are certainly a lot of things that can be deducted from the first time home buyer's perspective, or any home buyer's perspective. The interest, again, as you pay, some of the closing cost fees, those types of things could be deducted. So you definitely need to bring that in. But also, there are some benefits to people with first-time home buyers. You certainly should look at the programs that's being offered. There are some tax breaks, but again, I would take the whole entire HUD one to the preparer and let them just go down and see what you've paid and see what's qualified for.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Robert, calling from Northwest D.C. What's on your mind, Robert?
Yes, I'm calling about taxes and Obamacare. I was wondering, if you don't have Obamacare, do you still have to pay the $600?
Teddy, you want to take that one?
Yeah, I'm not sure what $600 he's talking about.
I think that's the penalty.
If you are paying.
He's talking about the penalty. For the Affordable Care Act.
Affordable Care Act. You can certainly deduct those payments as medical expenses on your Schedule A. But the problem with that is that the medical expenses that you're going to be paying have to be more than 10% of your adjusted gross income if you are younger than 65. Now, there are some other credits like the premium tax credit that you can get on your return. You can get that if you're paying anything through the Affordable Care Act. You can get that without having to itemize. Now, if you didn't make those payments, though, you're not going to get that tax break. And I think, Robert, I did hear you say that you – I thought I heard you say that you weren't making the payments.
I thought I heard him say that he had not signed.
No, I don't have Obamacare, you have the VA, so wouldn't that be enough?
Well, that's a question to ask, because I actually asked the same question. I'm actually a veteran myself. The law says that you have to buy into a health care plan by the end of the year. And if you don't buy into the health care plan by the end of the year, you will be taxed a penalty. And just like that, I mean, there are certain penalties you can't get out. One is the penalty for taking out your 401k as well as this. You will incur that penalty. The question is, and certainly, you know, I'm actually doing the research myself, does a veteran who has 100% or 50% disability that go to the VA, is that considered health care? I'm not sure of that answer yet. And certainly, sir, you can, you know, follow back up with me and we'll check. But as a vet myself, I often wonder to myself. So I am doing the research on that to see if that qualifies.
Okay. Robert, thank you so much for your phone call. Let me go to Nadia. Nadia calling from Gaithersburg. Hey, Nadia, what's on your mind?
Yes, good evening, panel, Mr. Fisher. Happy holidays to all.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I have a question. I am very proud, first-time home buyer.
Oh, good for you.
Oh, thank
Congratulations.
You. Congratulations. Thank you. And I put, as they said, the blood, sweat, and tears into that. You know, I mean, truly. My question is, I'm learning the ropes. I just closed in the home. I have closing costs and deposit down into it. What could I claim this coming tax year?
When did you bought it this year?
I bought it this year.
When did you settle?
I settled in the first week of December.
Oh, this month.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yeah, Salome, I'll let you go ahead and try that one.
Yeah, as I said before, you need to take the HUD-1 to your tax preparer because your HUD-1 will itemize all of the costs that you paid toward closing. And basically,
what's the HUD-1? I'm sorry. What's
it's the sheet
one?
That they gave you that said how much you bought to settlement, that settlement sheet. Just bring the whole.
Gave me something like 300 pages.
Bring it all to the tax preparer, then let them cipher through it. That's what you pay them the big bucks for them to cipher through it, to walk through it with you, to tell you what and what you don't, what qualifies for exemptions. Those closing costs qualify. The little bit of interest that you pay, I guess, hopefully, maybe you pay some pre-mortgage payments or something like that. Again, we would have to look
yes.
at the H-1, HUD-1 to see what you paid, and those things certainly can be deducted from your taxes.
And the HUD-1, let me say this, Nadia,
yes.
You'll know it when you see it, because right at the top of it, it will say in capital letters H-U-D, D as in dog, hyphen one, the number one. So
number
you,
one.
Yeah, H-U-D hyphen one, and it'll have two columns.
Yep.
And you'll see it. I have
yeah,
one,
too. One will be one yeah. for that says your purchase price, and it'll be how much the borrower paid, how much you got
right,
for anything.
Right, and all the do and don't, I think I...
Right. It's generally the first page in your packet. So the first couple
packet.
Of pages in your packet is generally your HUD-1. So look for that and take that to your tax preparer.
Mm-hmm.
And what else can I deduct for this coming to school, tax year?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things you can deduct. Did you go to school? Were you paying interest on your student loan? You can deduct those things. Again, certain expenses that's not reimbursed by your employer, we talked about earlier, you can get those as well. So I would just suggest you just sit down with your tax preparer and just spill out your guts of everything you've done this year and come to a consensus of what you qualify for.
Right. And I always ask the question every year because I didn't have interest. Per se, like the mortgage payment, I was not able to claim the copay or the medical expense. Can I claim them now?
If you have over your standardized deduction, now you can bring things into the table. So again, it would just depend on how much. If you're over the standard deduction of how much you paid in, and then you can start bringing those things in, but not until you get to over that limit.
I need to take a, Nadia, congratulations. I'll look for my invitation to the housewarming party.
Two.
Great. Come in. Can you tell me what's going to be? It's going to be housewarming. My first child going to college.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you were in midlife crisis, girl.
Believe me. And I become U.S. citizen. I
Yay.
The first time ever.
Wow. Congratulations. Thank you so much.
Presidency election year. This my truly is blessing 2016 for me.
Well, thank you so much. I need to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk to some things that you need to be aware of and watch out for when it comes to filing your taxes. That's coming up on the other side of this break. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about your money and your taxes, money-saving tips to keep you from giving more to the IRS than you need to. Let me take this loan. That's what he wants to talk about. Let's talk to Tony, calling from Woodbridge. He wants to talk about student loans and taxes. Tony, what's on your mind?
Good evening. First of all, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a retired vet, 30 years in the Marine Corps, and I... 100% disabled vet, so I went to Department of Education to submit a paperwork for them to dismiss my Parent PLUS loan for my daughter. They said yes. And last week I got a letter saying I got to pay $50,000 in taxes because they dismissed that loan. So if I wasn't able to pay that student loan back and they dismissed it, so how can they charge me for taxes? That's what I don't know.
Teddy, can you take that one?
Oh, yeah, I'll take that one. This is what you want to do. What happened was this began back in 1996. It's a long story that I'm not even going to go through. But generally speaking, they wrote off your loan. They negotiated, and they said, all right, you owe whatever, $300,000. If you pay $250,000, we'll let you go and we'll call it a day. You were happy. You were joyous. But what they did was they sent you a cancellation of debt form, a 1099-C, for $50,000. And the IRS was just wringing its hands saying, we can't wait until he files because he's got to claim this on his return. This is what you want to do. You want to talk to your tax advisor about filing the form 982. That's form 982. And this is for anybody else out there who received a 1099-C. A cancellation of debt. You file that form 982, and I'm trusting, I'm guessing that you were insolvent at the time, and you want to choose that that option on the 982 form. It's going to say insolvency. You file that return, you file that form with your return, and I'm willing to bet you that you will never hear another thing from the IRS again.
All right. Tony, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Salome, I'll ask you about this. I'm sure you remember earlier this year, Maryland's Attorney General Brian Frosch filed criminal action against tax preparers that were literally stealing tax returns. What advice do you have for people who are getting their returns done? And, how do you know who to trust? I mean, I know you. I know Teddy. But John and Jane, tax preparer, don't know you, and they don't know Teddy. So how do I know that you and Teddy aren't going to take my taxes?
Well, there are some safeguards that the IRS have put out, but a lot of people are not aware of. First of all, every tax preparer should have a PTIN number. That's the tax preparer's identification to the IRS. If you have went to a tax preparer and you have not gotten your tax return, you can go online and you should be able to make sure you get the amount of refund, the adjusted gross income from your return. Because sometimes the tax preparer does not give you the return, or some people just don't go get it because it's all done electronically. You can go online and type in your name, your Social Security number, and that adjusted gross income and get the amount of your return if the IRS has it. You will know if the IRS has it or not. If they don't have it, and you can also see if it's been paid. So don't wait months on your return. You should probably be able to get your return back between 10 to 14 days, some even faster. But if you haven't heard back from the IRS in terms of your tax return, and you know you're going to get a refund within about 14 days, you need to start asking questions. And if your preparer is not answering the right questions, you either need to go to another preparer to maybe try to do an investigation again. We can go onto the website, or you could do it yourself. Go on the website and see where your return is at.
Also, a question for you also, Teddy. Talk to me, and I'm sure this is certainly a cautionary tale about people that get tax return loans.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that, because it's, you know, this isn't the old days where if you were filing, I would imagine that some 80% to 90% of our income taxes these days are filed electronically. So the money is going to be here unless there's a problem. Few people mail them unless, you know, there's, you know, some specific circumstance, right? So why would somebody get a loan on their return?
Yeah, the refund anticipation loan is not as popular as it was, say, back in the early 90s. I know practices that really survived off of that refund anticipation loan because we charged a lot in order to process it. But it, for all intents and purposes, the RAL, the refund anticipation loan, is gone. You know, you cannot file anymore and get that refund back the next day. Maybe in some circles, in some small circles, you can, but that's just not happening anymore. And I do want to say this, because the IRS loves for us to tell taxpayers this. The IRS has never been a part of the refund anticipation loan program. Those were always individual preparers who set it up with their software vendors so that they can transmit a tax returns per person's tax return, anticipate, and that's where that word comes from, part of that phrase comes from, anticipate a certain amount back. The tax preparer would take a substantial amount many times, and then the taxpayer would receive his or her refund, and they were happy. But for all intents and purposes, those programs are gone, which is why many tax preparers went out of business.
Mm. Talk to me, Salome, about where people can go to get free tax services and who is eligible, because obviously tax preparers like yourself and Teddy, you're in the business of doing this. And you make a living at it. But there are some people on fixed income and others who may be eligible for free services. So where do they go?
There are a lot of nonprofits that have VITA, V-I-T-A, Volunteer Tax Assistance Programs that can help people who have simple tax returns to do their to get free filing. And a simple tax return is someone, again, that's in the lower income tax bracket that's probably don't have a house or business. There are programs out there, again, at probably a lot of nonprofits in the community that you can go to. And certainly you could do a search at the IRS to figure out what's the nearest VITA program near you to get your tax return done. For military, I know there's VITA programs on base. So if you're a veteran or you have access to a base, you can certainly check with your local installation to see if they have free programs. But yeah, generally they're and even on the IRS, you can do your tax return online for free on through the IRS's site.
Mm-hmm. Also, Teddy, what advice would you give for young people that are just getting into the workforce and are filing their taxes for the first time, where they are not filing the 1040 EZ form, where their taxes become much more complex? What do you tell them?
My advice is from day one, don't do it yourself, because tax preparation is so much more than the average person thinks it is. So, you know, people will go and they'll buy the $39 software and they'll prepare the tax return and they'll be happy. Oh, yeah, great, this looks good and things like that. But what about tax planning? What about advice on how to lower your tax liability? What about advice on whether you should claim zero or five or exempt or nine or whatever the case may be? Tax preparation is way more than just filing that tax return. Now, granted, these tax softwares over the last 26, 27 years have gotten very, very good. But that's all they're going to do. They're going to calculate the tax return based on what you put into it. Whereas an enrolled agent
or attorney who specializes in tax preparation, they're going to ask you the questions. And once that answer comes about, the bottom line comes about, that tax advisor is going to say, okay, are you satisfied with this? If you're not, these are the adjustments that you should make for the upcoming year.
Don't leave me out, Teddy. I'm a CPA. We could do it, too.
Or CPA.
That's right.
One more thing I was going to say, just some tax tips real quick. A lot of people are into this Uber driving, and your tax return when you became an Uber or a Lyft driver or any of the like just became really complicated because you created your own business. Okay, and so there's a lot of deductions that you can take because you are that Uber driver or that Lyft driver that, again, to his point, you really need to come and see a tax preparer to help you sort through that, the gas mileage, whether or not you're going to take the wear and tear on your car versus the gas mileage that we talked about earlier. Think about that. And then there's a lot of income that's associated with that and whether or not you pay taxes going in and how much you're driving. You may be shocked that you might find yourself in an old position because of that. So make sure you get with your tax preparer. And again, if you don't have one, Teddy and I'll be willing to take you on.
Oh, yeah, because there's so many things that I think can be missed, even with the software. And I'm certainly not knocking the software. I will say, I tried it a couple of years ago, maybe more than a couple of years ago, maybe 20 years ago. I kind of got frustrated, but, you know, because there was just so much that I really couldn't answer. And certainly with the advancement in technology, as Teddy said, I'm sure that it is a whole lot better now than it was 20 years ago. But I would venture to say there's no substitute for a flesh and blood thinking enrolled agent, CPA, attorney, someone who can, you know, tweak and adjust based on, you know, the paperwork and the questions that you ask the person who's filing. So certainly there's another advantage for you there. I want to thank both of you, Salome Tinker and Teddy Prelo. And of course, the information, as always, will be posted on WHUR.com in about 30 minutes ago, in 30 minutes or so. So happy new year to both of you and many happy income tax returns of the day. Thank you
so much, Harold.
Thank you.
All righty. That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM for channel SiriusXM 141 for this Tuesday, December 27th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me on Facebook at Harold Fisher WHUR, Twitter at H.